Hardy with a powerful right hand knocking Sammy Guevara through the stage.
I want a divorce. Oh!
Don Ferry! He's covered in Don Ferry!
Very elevated up and over the top of the assistant.
Bailey, no! Get down!
Are you kidding me?
You ruined my life! I told you I was going to ruin yours!
I feed a whole family with this title!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's Highs and Lows in Wrestling here on the unofficial WWE podcast. Today is Sunday, June 20th, 2021. My name is Mimi Burris, and we have a whole lot of wrestling to get into, starting with In Your House, NXT's pay-per-view that aired this Sunday, and ending with SmackDown and Dynamite, the shows that aired this Friday. And you know, guys, tonight is Hell in a Cell, so a whole bunch to talk about in WWE, AEW, and all the like. So if this is your first time tuning in to the WWE podcast, thank you. We pump out a bunch of shows every week covering SmackDown, Raw, AEW, NXT, Week in Review, Nostalgia. If you're signed up exclusively on Patreon, which is only $1 a month, you get Nostalgia and all of these shows ad-free. We pump out a lot of shows every week, and we got a lot going on here, especially with Hell in a Cell coming up, and a lot to talk about this week, so I'm excited to get into all of it with you guys, and we will just start and do that right away without any more plugs or talking about anything else. Let's just get into it, guys, and start with the beginning of the week, which started on Sunday with NXT TakeOver In Your House. And yeah, guys, overall, I was pretty disappointed. I don't know why I was disappointed. I'll say there was some good and some bad, like everything else in the show. And so, you know, we're going to quickly skim through it. This is obviously not a takeover review show. We have a wonderful co-host on here who does that, Zach Smith. So if you have not gone and checked out his shows before, go check that out if you're looking for some full NXT coverage. But yeah, guys, NXT In Your House was this Sunday. And for the most part, I mean, we had a fun kickoff match with MSK and Bronson Reed versus Legado del Fantasma, and winner take all for the North American title and the NXT tag team titles. And obviously MSK and Bronson Reed retained in a fun little opener, but I think this entire pay-per-view suffered from a really crappy crowd response. Honestly, there was just a lack of excitement from a crowd that was supposedly more packed than ever at the Capitol Wrestling Center. And they sounded more quiet than the NXT trainees did at the Performance Center back in early 2020. Really dull crowd. So, you know, I think these men put on a good match. I think the crowd just, this was kind of a like a cocaine-fueled match that needs a fun, exciting crowd behind it to be into it, to get you at home excited, at least in you know, in my perspective. And it didn't have that, so I think it really suffered from a crappy crowd. So if you were at NXT TakeOver In Your House this weekend, which I assume you weren't, or last weekend, unless you live in Florida and were one of like the 100 something people there, yeah, you sucked. Anyways, next there was Mercedes Martinez versus Xia Li. That was all right. I mean, kind of, I think, again, another match that suffered from, and not necessarily the match, but the post-match that suffered from a lack thereof crowd response, with the 1,000-year-old dragon lady throwing a Mercedes Martinez at the, whatever they call that, the plexiglass, the fencing that they have to keep the wrestlers safe. Cameron Grimes versus LA Knight in the Million Dollar Championship ladder match, a match that did not need to happen. I don't ever need to see a ladder match for like another couple of years on NXT. I actually just went back and watched the first North American Championship match, the ladder match, a couple of years ago. I think it was 2018. I could be wrong. That Adam Cole won. Spoiler alerts, I guess, if you haven't seen that match. But it's 2021, guys. Get with the program. So, yeah, I mean, a good match that was super, you know, fun and exciting, and crowd was in there the entire time, and some awesome, crazy bumps. Compared to this, like, guys, they need to stop pumping out ladder matches all the time, because it, just like we're going to see this weekend with Hell in a Cell, it loses the value. It is a, you know, supply and demand thing. The less there is of something, the more it's wanted. And yeah, these guys just took a bunch of really unnecessary bumps, but I understand the finish and having LA Knight take the championship. And then later on this week on Tuesday on NXT, this past week, we had obviously LA Knight turning on Ted DiBiase and having Cameron Grimes come out to make the save. So fun storyline going on there. I just thought this ladder match was so unnecessary. I thought they took something that had good comedy, but also good exciting wrestling behind it, and they made it into something that they NXT'd it. They like Shawn Michaels Triple H'd it, and they just didn't need to turn it into a ladder match. I mean, Cameron Grimes took a rough bump. I've seen it so many times. It meant nothing at this point. And then next up, we had the NXT Women's Championship match, which again was a good match, you know, formula-wise, but just predictable. And I don't know. I mean, they hit some great spots in this match. I think this is another match that really suffered from a crappy crowd. And obviously, we had the main event, which was Karrion Kross, Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, Johnny Gargano, and Pete Dunne in a fatal five-way match for the NXT World Championship. And, you know, with some awesome chain wrestling between four out of five of the guys. Not chain wrestling. That's, well, yes, there was a lot of great chain wrestling, but just awesome spots back and forth with all four of these guys. They put on such an amazing show. And I know they did their best to make it so the whole rule of, like, the triple threat or any multi-man matches where there's just one guy waiting on the outside, like, they did their best to make that not so apparent. But this still wasn't great, and Karrion Kross is more boring than watching paint dry or watching Braun Strowman cut a promo. Karrion Kross to me is just not doing it. I think his punches look weak, weaker than Wardlow on Jake Hager this week on AEW. The ground and pound looks awful. His finisher looks weak. He just doesn't look like he really puts any force behind it. So clearly he doesn't know how to do that with while doing it safely. Yeah, I really wasn't into this whole thing. But I did like a lot of the sequencing from the four men who can put on a really good match. Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, Johnny Gargano, and Pete Dunne. Was happy to see Pete Dunne get a really good response. But so overall, guys, this pay-per-view just wasn't awesome for me. I would love to hear your guys' thoughts on it, obviously, and we're not going to cover the entire week and everything that went down, but I did want to make sure I gave In Your House a special mention on here, because I think a lot of this wasn't the wrestler's fault, a lot of this was the booking's fault, and the bad crowd's fault, and a lot of predictability, and, you know, this being hopefully the last takeover with, hopefully the last takeover in the Capitol Wrestling Center, honestly. I don't know what their plans are. Obviously, they've announced live crowds for Raw and SmackDown, but they have not announced anything for NXT, because NXT is still the redheaded stepchild. So, but yeah, moving on down, we had Raw this week, obviously, as always, and we're going to get into a lot more on in Raw when we get towards the low period of the show, I'm sure, but let me just put it this way, Raw was Raw. And before we go into the rest of the week, I do want to address an email. I got a great email this week from Aiden in Ireland. Once again, Aiden, thank you. I always love hearing what you have to say about all this stuff. And if you guys want to send me any questions, I'll try to get them on here. You can shoot me an email at Mimi. It's mimi.realwwepodcast@gmail.com. Yeah, you can send me your thoughts, which I got a bunch of emails from you guys this week on your thoughts. Some stuff about AEW and some stuff about the NXT pay-per-view, obviously. And then if you have any questions, you can send those in too, and I'll respond both ways, obviously, but I will respond to the questions on here, hopefully. And yeah, so just as before I continue on talking about the rest of the week in wrestling, I do want to address this, and Aiden, you gave me a wonderful email about a bunch of this Piper Nevin and Eva Marie stuff on Raw this week, and talking about them just not even mentioning, them basically pulling a Dabba Kato Commander Aziz on Piper. And yeah, for those of you who don't know, because not a lot of people watch NXT UK, Piper Nevin is a former, I guess former, women's wrestler on NXT UK. And she was the woman who came out with Eva Marie this week that the commentators pretended never to know before. Meanwhile, if you go on YouTube, you can look up plenty of her matches, I assume, on NXT UK. And so I just know that because I was just looking up a bunch of audio stuff for hopefully a new intro for this show that I don't know if I'm putting it on this show or not yet. We'll have to see if it comes out well enough or not, or if I just decide I don't like it. So yeah, anyways, you know, you said Twitter was on fire with the hashtag Naomi deserves better. Yeah, we've had that many times too. I think Naomi is super athletic. She's obviously not, you know, one of the best women's wrestlers in the world, but she's got a lot more talent than they allow her to display. I mean, they've had her as a tag team with Lana, who was recently released for months now, and that was awful and the worst idea ever. I'm just happy she's still in the company. Actually, I don't even know if I'm happy she's still in the company. I'm happy she's still employed, at least. You know, hopefully hopefully WWE is able to realize that they've got something great in Naomi. They had something great a while ago. She had a great match at WrestleMania, I think, in Orlando a bunch of years back against Natalya, if I'm correct. Maybe I'm wrong about that. But I'm a big Naomi fan, guys. I was a huge Naomi fan back at the Funkadactyls. I really do love Naomi. And so I'm with you, Aiden. I think Naomi deserves a lot better. And I'm glad to see at least the WWE universe, God, I can't even call it, the WWE fans agree with that. So, and then you were talking a lot about the nickname for Piper, which I assume, and I've heard this before, but I don't remember how it was pronounced. Is it Doudrop? Doudrop is going to be her name. I don't know if they're going to go with that, but I did hear rumors that that was definitely one of the names that was announced. Total side note, guys. I don't know if any of you have listened to the New Day podcast. I'm plugging them, I guess, but they don't really need my plug on their show. But great podcast. They're hilarious. I love, obviously, Xavier Woods, Big E, and Kofi. I think they are, you know, they have their own style for sure, but they definitely do a great job. I love their podcast, and I try to listen to as many as I can. Definitely helps me with long car rides because they are just hilarious. But a while back, you're going to have to scroll like way back into the beginning of their podcast. They did there might have been even a two-part series on kind of the beginning of the New Day and all of the, it's called The List, I think is the title of the podcast. And they talk about all the names that WWE gave them as a possible faction name. And they're hilarious, guys. This creative team is, special. They're special. Let's put it that way. They are very special. And this is a hilarious podcast. So I recommend you guys go listen to that. Some of these names that they were recommended before they had the New Day are hilarious. So, yeah, go check that out. But anyways, back to Doudrop over here. I know, Aiden, you mentioned that you were not happy with this. Do we know what Doudrop means? Should we look up, is there something on Urban Dictionary about Doudrop? Am I just not hip with, oh, they did. They filed trademark for the name Doudrop, according to healbynature.com. And on Urban Dictionary, Doudrop is just the rebrand of Piper Nevin. She debuted on Raw on June 14th. Okay, so there's no name for that. I don't know. Is Doudrop supposed to be, I mean, it doesn't sound like a good name. I don't know if it has some sort of meaning that my not-so-hip self is not tuned into, but I don't know. I don't know about you guys. I don't think I'd want to be called Doudrop. I think I will stick with my name. So, yeah, this is awful. And nothing new, though. Aiden, you hear the calmness in my voice. One, it's because I have to be a little bit quieter where I am right now. But two, I'm just not surprised anymore, man. I am just not surprised anymore with the way that this company treats women, with the way that this company treats all its talent. Guys, I am just, there's very few things that WWE can do at this point to surprise me. I just was actually talking to my fiance, again, total another sidetrack, about the fact that I made a bet with her. I say within the year at the latest, the WWE releases Bray Wyatt, The Fiend, because they seemingly have given that whole character to Alexa Bliss now. Yeah. I bet they do not keep Bray Wyatt on for more than a year, which is really sad. Like, these are the things that I'm not going to be surprised about anymore. I said I wouldn't be surprised if Bayley got released. Just this company, I would not be surprised if tonight on Hell in a Cell, if Shayna Baszler has, you know, Alexa Bliss pinned or in a submission, and the lights go dark and the lights come back on and Hell in a Cell has come down and Shayna Baszler is trapped in an armbar by Lily and has to tap out in the Hell in a Cell against Lily. That's what I'm... You know what is probably going to happen, guys? I take it back. Here are my predictions. We're total sidetrack here. Predictions on Sunday night tonight for Hell in a Cell. Shayna Baszler versus Alexa Bliss. I think the lights are going to go dark. I think Alexa Bliss and Shayna Baszler will be in the ring, and the referee will disappear when the lights come back on, and Lily will be the new guest referee and will do a fast count so Alexa Bliss can roll up Shayna Baszler in the same way that every other person has ever rolled up Shayna Baszler out of the Carafuna clutch, and Alexa Bliss will get the win with the fast count by Lily, the guest referee, in a Hell in a Cell, Reginald in a shark cage, Nia Jax on a pole match. And that's what's going to happen tonight, guys. So, all right. Anyways, on to your question, Aiden, as I just completely sidetracked here. You said, that what do I think of the new name, which I kind of answered, I guess. I don't know what it means, but it doesn't sound nice, and I think it's an awful name to give anybody. Dewdrop, guys. Dewdrop. Is it, maybe I'm pronouncing that wrong, but no, I'm probably not. This company is incapable of anything intelligent. All right. And then you said, I assume I'm against mocking or implying anything against larger women. Yeah, I think, you know what I just watched actually too, and then I'll move on obviously to the rest of the week this week. But I just watched All Out. I think it was All In, which was for those of you who don't know, a Ring of Honor pay-per-view a couple years ago. I think it was 2018. And it was kind of the start of the whole AEW company as a whole because, you know, Dave Meltzer made some challenge that Cody Rhodes and the Young Bucks and Ring of Honor couldn't sell out a massive stadium or something, whatever. They couldn't sell out a pay-per-view. And obviously the Young Bucks, Cody Rhodes, you had Penta and Very Phoenix on that card. You had Chris Jericho and Kenny Omega. They had this awesome pay-per-view called All In 2018. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. It's really awesome. And gotta bring out my thesaurus again, guys, because I'm using the word awesome a lot. But I guess I am just listening to The Miz too much, and that's the symptom of the brainwashing WWE is doing to me every single week. Anyways, women's match, All In. It was Kylie Rae versus Nyla Rose versus Britt Baker, back as a babyface, if you can believe that. And then the special guest entrance to this that made it a fatal four-way match was Awesome Kong. For those of you who don't know who Awesome Kong is, she is Karma. If you've been watching WWE long enough, you remember Karma for her brief stint in WWE. The only thing that came to mind was she squashed Kelly Kelly once, and I remember being a young girl and just devastated because I loved Kelly Kelly. For all the right young girl PG reasons at that time, but yeah, it was a really awesome match between these four women, and what do you know, Nyla Rose and Awesome Kong are absolutely wonderfully, beautifully plus-sized women, and they kick absolute ass, and AEW, or Ring of Honor at the time, treated them with respect, gave them the credibility they deserved, and continue to in AEW, I think. Obviously, I'm not a big fan, and I'm sure we'll get into this later on the show, of this whole Nyla Rose, Britt Baker feud that's happening, but Awesome Kong, I think I talked to Ashley Mann, actually, who had a little bit more information on this than I did, because I was like, whatever happened to her? Had some health issues and some family stuff, it sounds like. But, you know, both of these two women are, Nyla Rose still, are incredible and were treated with respect and the same respect the other women in the division were treated with. Obviously, yes, they're booked a little bit differently, just like the Big Show was booked differently than Rey Mysterio, because they're two different people and two different sizes of people, and that's how wrestling works, obviously. But you can still treat your women with respect, and they have her named as Awesome Kong, not Dewdrop. So that's what I have to say about that, Aiden. And Eva Marie, whatever, at least we didn't have to watch her wrestle, so there's that. And the rest of Raw, obviously, guys, the New Day versus RK-Bro. I thought they were going to blow that off at Hell in a Cell, but I guess TV ratings matter more than pay-per-view, and that's why we saw what we saw on SmackDown this week. But this was the only really exciting match on the entire show for 3 hours. So, obviously, RK-Bro got the win, and I really am loving RK-Bro. Obviously, it's getting a little bit much, and of course, they're slowly but surely driving the jokes into the ground with the key and all that other stuff, but they seem to have toned it back a little bit this week, so I like that match. We saw Asuka versus Rhea Ripley again. So just copy and paste anything I've ever said about that match that we've seen 15 times and throw it on here. Don't even get me started on Alexa Bliss versus Nia Jax. Nia Jax, I don't ever care to see in a ring. I'll say, though, the past couple weeks, Nia Jax has been a little bit better, and it's probably because she's in segments with Alexa Bliss. And so, guys, I told my fiance this week. I was watching Raw. It feels like forever ago because time has no meaning anymore. This week on Monday when I was watching Raw, or Tuesday night, whatever it was, I was watching Raw, and I told her, I said, you know what, babe, you want to know how Raw started this week? I was on Nia Jax's side in the first segment on Raw. So that sets the tone for what the next 3 hours of my life are going to be spent doing because, well, that needs no explanation. So we saw Elias versus Jackson Ryker again. So copy and paste that, guys. Copy and paste that from last week. I don't care. I don't care. Yeah, what? This is just content for content's sake, guys, and I don't have it in me to talk about it anymore. You've heard my explanations a million times. This company does not care about putting out good content. All it cares about is putting out content, and that is why we had literally the exact same match as last week. Obviously, Jackson Ryker wins by a 10 count, count out because Elias is a little bitch, and yeah, nothing new there. Drew McIntyre versus AJ Styles, which turned into Drew McIntyre and the Viking Raiders versus Omos and Bobby Lashley, was an okay match. It was nice to see the Viking Raiders. I'm excited to watch the Viking Raiders versus AJ Styles and Omos. Did they announce that for Hell in a Cell? Because I didn't hear that. But I'm excited to see that because Omos is awesome and the Viking Raiders are awesome. And if WWE just doesn't touch it and lets them do what they want to do, I'm sure that match is going to be awesome. God, I need a thesaurus. Okay, NXT. I thought, guys, that NXT this week was better than the pay-per-view. Obviously, it was main evented by an incredible match that we are going to talk about later on in the show. Hint, hint, wink, wink. We had Samoa Joe coming to NXT, being the new enforcer. So Dad now has, you know, Uncle Joe there to help him control the kids on NXT. But it was fun to watch Karrion Kross tuck his non-existent tail between his legs and walk into the back. When Samoa Joe came out, I did like that. We had Breezango versus Imperium. That made absolutely no sense and had no point because this didn't further any storyline. Considering Breezango, I thought we're going to start going on a losing streak and then maybe turning heel. And Imperium are boring. Kushida, I'm loving these NXT Cruiserweight Championship matches. This open challenge reminds me reminds me most of what John Cena used to do on Raw. That must have been 2016 by now. Jesus Christ. Again, time has no meaning, you guys. But yes, I'm loving how he's taking these guys, like Trey Baxter this week, and giving them a showcase. I'd like to see them follow up. You know, obviously we didn't see anything from the guy last week, but I am loving these open challenge matches. They're great every week, and they're just, you know you're going to get a good match out of Kushida and one of these other cruiserweights, so in regards to Kyle O'Reilly coming out afterwards, I bet my life savings that there's not a clean finish to that match because you can't have if it's for the title, you can't have Kushida lose. I doubt they're putting the Cruiserweight Championship on Kyle O'Reilly considering they have the match coming up with Adam Cole, unless they want to like super elevate the Cruiserweight title and have that match for the Cruiserweight title, but at the Great American Bash, so I don't know. LA Knight turning on Ted DiBiase after the Million Dollar Championship win from NXT In Your House. Talked about that already a bit briefly. This was a great match, guys. The Casey Catanzaro and Kidd and Carter versus Raquel Gonzalez and Dakota Kai. Obviously, I think Casey Catanzaro either back from injury or maybe they just took her off TV for a while because she was on social media, you know, running around maskless and creating perfect content for cancel culture. But this was a great women's tag team match. What do you know? The tag team division on NXT is better than any other part on the roster. Loved watching Zoe Stark come out to take out The Way, Indy Hartwell, and Candice LeRae when they went after Io Shirai. I really give NXT credit. They long-term storytelling, you know, guys. They care enough about Io Shirai to have set a thing for her to do next up. When she came back, obviously, with those matches against Zoe Stark and having a mutual respect. And I'd love to see, you know, this tag team match. Anything with Candice LeRae, Io Shirai, and obviously the two greener of Zoe Stark and Indy Hartwell is going to be awesome. So I'm excited for that. And we will get into whatever else happened on NXT later. Obviously, talking about AEW, I always say, guys, if you want to hear all my thoughts on AEW, you can go and listen to my AEW review show here on the NXT podcast. I don't usually go down the whole week thing, but I guess this is what we're doing this week on the highs and lows. We're just going to talk about everything that happened this week, because why not? Yeah, we had the boring match with Cody Rhodes and Brock Anderson versus QT Marshall, and Aaron Solo. I don't like handicap matches, so this is saying a lot. A good handicap match between Darby Allin and the Men of the Year. Nothing else super notable besides the main event, obviously, which was Frankie Kazarian, Penta El Zero Miedo and Eddie Kingston versus Matt Jackson and the Good Brothers. And a terribly worked shoot MMA cage fight with Jake Hager and Wardlow because that will never work. And a good women's match, obviously. Oh, and a great interview with Jim Ross and Andrade El Idolo. If you guys have not seen that, I'm sure it's on their YouTube channel. These Jim Ross interviews are always awesome, so go check that out. And last but not least, guys, moving on to SmackDown. Obviously, Bianca Belair and Bayley are going to be in a Hell in a Cell match now. Whatever. It works for me. I don't need to see Bayley on all these TV screens again, but they did that again because they're just trying to get every little last drop use out of the Thunderdome. So there was that. Oh my God, would you believe it or not, guys? Shinsuke Nakamura versus King Corbin. I think we're on week 4 in a row. They didn't even bother to do Rick Boogs versus Baron Corbin. They just continued to do this match over and over and over again. So that's great. And that was super exciting and new. A good tag team match between Big E and Kevin Owens and Apollo Crews and Commander Aziz. But guys, I have no interest in Commander Aziz. I'm sorry, that was Dabba Kato. I'm not stupid. I have a bigger brain than a goldfish WWE. Stop treating me like I am unintelligent. Because I'm not. Well, apparently, guys, I am. Because here I've been talking about, you know, a lot of the WWE product for about 30 minutes now. So, and then we obviously had the Hell in a Cell match for the Universal Championship. And I did want to touch on this before we get into our official highs and lows of the week. Because we're about a half an hour into this podcast and I haven't mentioned either. I don't know why I did the show this way this week. But you know what, guys? Everything needs a little bit of a freshen up, I guess. So this is what we did this week. Yeah, this was a great match. Why they put it on SmackDown? Clear reason, because TV draws money these days. You know, obviously, pay-per-views don't draw as much revenue as TV with all the ads and all that other crap. So, kind of exactly what you expected to happen. The one thing that I did really like of this match was it was fun to watch, you know, Roman Reigns get some... Like, we got like, a bit of the carrot. A bit of the carrot. We're the rabbits, guys. We got a piece of the carrot from WWE because we got to watch Roman Reigns get his butt whooped a little bit, but obviously not enough to give us enough satisfaction because Rey Mysterio ended up face down with the loss here against Roman Reigns. The one thing I'll say too is, why was this the Universal Championship? I don't know. Rey Mysterio didn't earn an opportunity for the Universal Championship, but then again, nobody has to earn opportunities anymore. Just ask any of the women's tag team champions or challengers. But whatever, I just thought this should be a plain Hell in a Cell match, no title. I thought that really would have actually done well for Roman Reigns' character, but they don't do smart things, so they did not do that. But it was good to see Jimmy Uso come out at the end, and it looks like Jimmy Uso is slowly but surely aligning himself with the Bloodline, and I'm fine with that, because I don't really want to see Jimmy Uso versus Roman Reigns. All right, guys, I really went on a tangent about this week, but I guess this is my own mini little week in review, but we will get into the highs and lows of the week, guys, and talk about, you know, the low of the week first, as always. You know what, guys? You know what? I'm already mixing things up doing this show in a weird-ass way this week, so why don't we do the high for the week first? And we are going to go over to NXT, and it was the main event of NXT on Tuesday night this week. The Tornado Tag, Tommaso Ciampa, and Timothy Thatcher. Guys, oof, gosh. Try again. All right. Tommaso Ciampa and Timothy Thatcher versus the Grizzled Young Veterans. Guys, GYV is the best tag team that NXT has right now. I know MSK are super exciting and awesome, but these guys are amazing in the ring and amazing on the mic, and they've got such a presence. And who would have thought it would be cool to be an old man, Tommaso Ciampa, and, you know, tiny Timothy Thatcher. Toothless Timothy is what they call him. Toothless Tim. Who would have thought these guys would be this awesome tag team? I thought a lot of their matches together were really not great. There was the one really good hard-hitting match that they had at a takeover, and I don't remember which one it was. But they, the pit match wasn't great. I thought it was boring, in my opinion. But, you know, out of all the things that they could have done in the pit, they sold the pit so much, and then they didn't do anything all that awesome. It was just... I thought their other matches were more exciting. And so when you're going to elevate something with a stipulation like that, you want the matches to get better, not worse. And I thought, or stay the same. Because if they stay the same, they seem worse because we've already seen the match. So whatever, I'm going on a side tangent there. This was my high for the week. Absolutely. I mean, the Grizzled Young Veterans are similar to like FTR to me, who were obviously, why am I forgetting their name in NXT? FTR and AEW, what was their name in NXT? You guys know who I'm talking about. Someone will email me, right, guys? But yes, they remind me a lot of FTR. Like, just they know how to, when to hit the exciting spots and when to keep it strictly heel tag team wrestling. They have, you know, are so good at getting the baby faces over. You can tell when heels love being heels because they love getting faces over. And if you guys have ever listened to FTR's podcast with Chris Jericho, actually, it's a great interview. Again, I know I'm plugging a lot of podcasts this week, I guess, but this is a weird show overall, so I'm going to keep doing it. They talk about, you know, that all they wanted to do was be this great heel tag team, and when they wrestle as heels, like, they can do moonsaults and all this other stuff, but they don't do it because they're the heels. They want to wrestle as the heels and let the baby faces get the pops like that and get over it. And so I think GYV has a lot of FTR in them, and they're so talented. And, you know, it's rare we see such a great team who's so, and rare just as a wrestler, someone who's so good on the microphone and also so good in the ring. And genuine heels, guys. I boo the guys, and they're great at making me boo them. And I don't boo them at home in my TV by myself. I only do that for Roman Reigns. But yeah, no, they're really awesome. And obviously, guys, I think Tommaso Ciampa with this team with Timothy Thatcher has some new life. I'm curious to see where they go from here. But I mean, there was a lot of awesome action. We had We had air raid crashes off the rope, off the second rope. We had air raid crashes off on the announce table. We had some great spots. There was this great spot where and I'm forgetting their name. Gibson is out on the announce table from the air raid crash from Tommaso Ciampa. And you've got Drake alone in the ring. And he's like egging on Tommaso Ciampa. And Timothy Thatcher just appears behind him. And they hit the fairy tale ending and a tap out armbar ankle lock submission to get the win. And so overall, guys, if you haven't seen this match, it was really fun and exciting. I'm not doing it enough credit, especially because I have to keep it quiet a little bit here, so I can't do anything super loud, even though I just raised my voice again. All right, quiet. We're keeping it quiet here on the WWE podcast today. This is your ASMR, Highs and Lows of the Week. But yeah, so this gets my high for the week, absolutely. And without further ado, because I've been talking for a while now, let's move on over to the low for the week. What do you know, guys? It's going over to Raw, and we're going to start with the first match of the night, which was, you know, just a banger of a match. Heartstopper, Nikki Cross versus Charlotte. You know, guys, I'll give a miss. No beat the clock challenge. This was just a regular match. And I want to say that your 13-time women's champion didn't even really get distracted. Just, for some reason, turned her hearing aids off, I guess, and did not hear the referee counting to 10 and gets counted out and has Nikki Cross once again, celebrating the win, like she just won the world title when she won by count out. Nikki Cross looks like a stupid nerd. Charlotte Flair looks like an idiot. Who's the face? Who's the baby? This is similar to on AEW, actually, not nearly as bad on AEW, but I'm struggling with, again, you got heel versus heel with Nyla Rose versus Britt Baker. Heel versus heel with Charlotte Flair versus Ruby Riott, not Ruby Riott. Oh my God, guys, I gotta go to bed. I guess it's only the afternoon, but I gotta go to bed because I can't remember anybody's name. You have Charlotte Flair versus Rhea Ripley. That's how irrelevant she is, because I'd probably rather have Rhea Ripley released with Ruby Riott so she actually has a future in wrestling. Because where she's at now, this poor girl is 24 years old, and just look at Shayna Baszler. Why can't I remember her name? Rhea Ripley. Just look at Shayna Baszler, Rhea Ripley, because that is your future. Yeah, heel versus heel. Same thing going on AEW, but this is way worse because at least on AEW, they don't have beat-the-clock challenges and their 13-time women's champion getting tagged. I love Charlotte Flair, guys. I love Charlotte Flair, and this is what she's doing on WWE right now. I'm so depressed and sad about it. I am not looking forward to this match. I don't care about this match. I care less about this match than I did about Asuka versus Rhea Ripley. Guys, this is Rhea motherfucking Ripley and Charlotte Flair. And Charlotte Flair, your 13-time women's champion. I know Charlotte Flair gets a lot of flack and old Roman Reigns flack too with the pushing and whatever. Charlotte Flair is the best damn women's wrestler on that roster. Pure and pure natural athleticism. I don't care if you want to argue with me about it. In that ring, there is nobody better on that women's roster ever, in my opinion. Again, subjective, but hard to argue. yes, the pushes of her can get annoying, but she's a heel. It's at least she wasn't being crammed down our face by like a baby face. Yes, it has happened a few times here and there, but we're supposed to not like her and not want her to hold the titles. We're supposed to want a face to beat her for the titles. They're doing their job when that's happening. What the hell is going on with this? I can't, for my own mental health, guys. I don't know how I'm still doing this show. I don't know how I'm still watching the WWE product. I don't know how I'm doing any of this anymore. I'm so disappointed with the booking of these two women. It was so easy. It writes itself, guys. Last year, WrestleMania, Charlotte beat Rhea Ripley for the NXT Women's title in a great match. In my, again, my opinion, subjective, but a great match. It writes itself, the feud. Rhea Ripley versus Charlotte Flair. You could have even had Charlotte Flair go over here at Hell in a Cell, win the title back, and then you have 1-1, and you have a final, you do some Nikki Cross crap at Money in the Bank, and you have a final blow off with these two women at SummerSlam, who, you know, 1v1, one each or whatever, who gets the best of the whole feud between the two of them, and then move on. Like, it's so easy. It writes itself. I'm better than you. No, I'm better than you. No beat the clock challenge bullshit. No any of this other crap I can't even get into. I have a headache just talking about it. So I'm done for the week, guys. And I'm going to give you your random match recommendation for the week, which is none other than January 27th, 2018, Johnny Gargano versus Andrade Cien Almas. For the NXT Championship. If you haven't seen this match, which you probably have because it was unbelievable, I'm going to get all dramatic on you guys as I end this show here, but I'm 100% serious. After watching Raw this week and a crappy NXT TakeOver and whatever, all this awful wrestling that WWE produces every week, I watched this match. By the way, there's another amazing match on this card, and I guess I'm going to give you a 2-for-1, which was Aleister Black versus Adam Cole, no DQ match. Watch that because it's unbelievable. But I'm giving my random match recommendation of the week solely to Andrade versus Johnny Gargano this week, because I watched this match and, guys, I remembered why I fell in love with wrestling again. I remembered why I love this show so much. I remembered why I love watching scripted, predetermined men and women fighting each other in a square with ropes around it, hearing the crowd, the near falls. I totally forgot who actually won this match, so it was even more exciting with that. Zelina Vega, all of this, even the commentary was, again, I have my own views on more narrow, but overall, guys, I remembered why I loved wrestling again, watching this match, because even AEW has really sucked on these Fridays lately. So if you are in need of a reminder as to how good wrestling can be, go check out this very dramatic introduction to the match, Andrade versus Johnny Gargano at NXT Philadelphia, NXT TakeOver Philadelphia, again, 2018. Really awesome stuff, guys. Go check it out. Talk about a pure babyface heel dynamic. The crowd was incredible. You're doing yourself a disservice if you don't go back and watch this match. So that's all for me on the weird episode of the highs and lows of the week, guys. Thanks for listening, as always. I'm not looking forward to Hell in a Cell tonight, but I'm watching it because I do this wonderful podcast for you guys. And I am looking forward to Saturday Night Dynamite, though, and I'm looking forward to another weird schedule for me and having to fill these podcasts in somewhere in my day because AEW and these stupid NBA playoffs that keep screwing with that schedule. And hopefully, guys, sometime this week, maybe there will be some Patreon exclusive podcast for you guys from yours truly. So I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week, guys. I hope you have a wonderful time watching Hell in a Cell this week. Hopefully it over delivers like these, you know, terribly booked pay-per-views tend to. And I'll talk to you guys next time.